Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Forge Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kalyani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for attending our Q3 analyst call. I'm going to hand over to our CFO, Kedar Dixit, and I'll be here to answer your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. I'll just take you through the highlights for the quarter on the standalone as well as on the consolidated performance. So we had another quarter of strong performance registered in quarter three. Standalone revenues grew by 16% to 2,263 crores, and EBITDA grew by almost 31% to 645 crores. EBITDA margins are at 28.5%, which is an expansion of almost 330 basis points on a YOY basis, driven primarily on account of favorable product mix and cost optimization. PBT and PAT grew by 31% to 504 crore and rupees 378 crore, respectively. The balance sheet continues to remain strong, with surplus cash net of long-term loans now stands at almost 1,000 crores. At a consolidated level, also the revenue grew by almost 15% to 3,867 crores, and EBITDA grew by 56% to 673 crores. For the nine-month ended on 31st December 2023, sales have grown by 19% to 6,640 crores. EBITDA grew by 29% to 1,815 crores, and PBT grew by 30% to 1,385 crores, which is more or less equal to what we have achieved in the entire year of FY23. During the quarter, the company has secured new business worth rupees 550 crore on an annualized basis across various segments, including automotive, industrial, defense, aerospace, and casting, and out of which 90% are export-driven. In terms of the total exports out of Indian manufacturing operations now stands at $200 million for the quarter, which is 36% up on a YOY basis. In terms of overseas subsidiaries, European operations have posted EBITDA of 22 crore, while the U.S. operations have achieved break-even at EBITDA level in the last quarter. The phase two CapEx of about $100 million in the U.S. is on track. The current capacity utilization on aluminum business is about 50% for U.S. and about 70% in Europe. As far as the aluminum operations are concerned, in Europe, the operations have been stabilized, and now we are working on getting price increases from the customers, which is underway. U.S. operations are yet to be fully stabilized, while there is a continuous improvement in operations quarter-over-quarter. Now I will hand over to Mr. Amit Kalyani for the comments on the outlook.
So I would say that the near-term outlook remains positive. It's a mixed bag. We have a stronger outlook in the passenger car sector and in our industrial and defense sector. On the truck side in Europe, we expect to see a small slow tapering, and in the U.S., it should be flat. Medium term, I think we will continue to accelerate our growth going forward. We have many new growth drivers for our business, especially our industrial business, our casting business, also moving from components into systems and subsystems, and new export opportunities that we are getting across our verticals, such as aerospace, etc., will provide adequate growth momentum for our company to sustain a strong double-digit growth going forward. There will be years when the growth is slightly less. There are years when growth will be slightly more. But I expect that on an overall basis, profitable growth and profitability will be maintained, and we should continue growing in a healthy manner going forward as well. We also should see in the next 18 months or so, our e-mobility and aluminum casting business should growing and generate solid contributions to our bottom line and our top line. Additionally, once our European and U.S. operations, especially our European operations, which is now on an operational basis performing well, get their price increases under control, we will have a very good performance and a very good contribution to bottom line coming from there. Similarly, as we get fully stabilized and ramp up our U.S. operations, that too should provide a favorable contribution to our top and bottom line. So I think that's really all I have to say. I'm happy to take your questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Kapil from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on the strong performance. Sir, there were a couple of segments during this quarter which had soft performance. One was.
We can't hear you. I'm sorry. I think you're far away from the phone.
I'm sorry. Is it better?
Yeah, much better.
Okay. So I was saying that there are a couple of segments here which had a decline. One was the non-auto exports, and the second was domestic PV business. So could you just share what was the reason for that and what is the outlook for these segments and also domestic PV business?
Okay. So the non-automotive exports, which was down, was oil and gas. On the PV side, we had a couple of programs that got over, and we will have strong growth on the PV side overall because we have a lot of new programs that are starting and ramping up over the next 2 to 3 quarters. On the domestic PV, there has been a quarter-on-quarter slowdown or flattish nature of business. It's actually flat. Next quarter, which is your typically the strongest quarter of the year, should see a better performance. And I think Indian CV on a secular basis should be positive because there is good demand coming from the overall infrastructure build and the CapEx build taking place in India.
Okay. And sir, what is the traction you're seeing on the defense business? We have, are there more programs both in the domestic and export where we can win orders? How is the progress there? If you could just talk about that.
We have a lot of new programs that we're working on defense. As you know, there are programs which are both on the artillery side, programs on the vehicle side, and programs both in naval, air force, as well as the components and MRO, which we're working on, all of which are starting to yield results. We have a good, healthy export order book, and we will continue to build this and continue to execute against the orders that we already have. We are participating in new development programs which have very, very large business potential, both within India and globally. And as these reach some amount of finality, we will talk about them more publicly.
Sir, any update on the ATAGS guns order? Are you expecting
it? It's expected to be coming out anytime soon, so let's see.
Okay. And so just one question on the margins, please. We had a very good improvement in gross margins. So if you could just talk about what exactly in the mix was there that drove it, or were there any other factors?
If you see our product mix, you know, we now have a higher share of contribution coming from both subsystems and systems, both in industrial and in defense. This is really what's helping our margins. Additionally, cost control and efficiency improvement is also working well.
Great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gunjan Prithyani from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, team. Thanks for taking my questions. My first question is on the follow-up on the defense business itself. Can you talk about the order book? Because I think last quarter you all had mentioned somewhere around 3,000 crores, and what I picked up in the media was 2,000 crores. So just trying to understand, you know, what is the difference between the two numbers? And also broadly, if you can talk, you know, given the visibility that you're seeing from the new programs you're engaging in, how should that, you know, how should we think about this business scaling up in terms of revenues over the next two, three years?
So we expect our defense business to grow to a very meaningful size of our overall business in the next two to three years. In fact, already we expect this business to be over 1,000 crores this year. When we had talked about the 3,000 crore order book, we are already executing 1,000 crores out of that, so what is remaining will be about 2,000 crores. So the number of 3,000 crores was correct. We are in the bid for some very large new business, and as this comes through, that will add significantly to our overall order book as well as our revenue per year annually. I think to look at us getting to a 2,000-2,500 crore annual business in defense as the first milestone and then grow from there is a realistic target in the next two, I would say, 2.5 years.
Okay. Got it. And I'm just trying to understand the margin that you typically say around 20% plus on the defense. How do I read it? Because, you know, the subsidiary business does have like a mid-high single-digit margin. So a part of that margin of entire defense vertical is captured in standalone. Is that the way to think about defense revenues?
Yes. I mean, you have to think of defense revenue and margins on an aggregate basis.
Okay. Got it. Which I assume even now would be close to, would be in the double-digit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Strong double-digit. Yes.
Okay. Got it. My second question is on the Class 8 truck outlook. Now, you know, what you mentioned in the initial comments where you're looking at U.S. Class 8 being still flat, and, you know, some of the third-party industry estimates talk about a meaningful decline this year given, you know, the order book is running down or general weakness in macro. Is that something, you know, to really, you know, is that something that you're picking up in your engagement with the customers? Is it going to be a decline year at all the way you, you know, you're engaging with the customers?
No, I think the U.S. order book will be strong. I think U.S. will continue to remain strong. I think Europe is where there's a bit of a question mark.
Okay. Europe, so U.S., you're still looking at flattish for the year given that there is some backlog still to execute. And there was this mention of emission that you, you know, you spoke about. Can you?
Emission norm changes happen next year.
27.
In 2027. So there will be a pre-buy in 2025 and 2026.
Pre-buy.
So I don't think the next two years we will see a slowdown in U.S.
Okay. Got it. And my last question is, you know, anything to call out on the EU sub, you know, European subsidiaries margin trajectory? You know, you mentioned 12-18 months. Is, you know, how should we see it progressing from current low single digit? Like, you know, do we see them getting significantly better in F25, or, you know, it's going to be a few more quarters of?
Margins will get significantly better in 25. You know, but U.S. will probably take a little more time. That is where I talked about the 12-18 months. But I think, you know, in 12 months, you will see also a significant improvement there. But I think we'll see a higher improvement in Europe.
So overseas subs would still be in the range of mid to high single digit in F25. Is that a fair way to look at it? Overall, not just Europe, just the entire overseas subs.
I would say yes, maybe higher single digit.
Okay, got it. I'll join back the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you talk about what was the defense revenue in this quarter and how much of that would be from the gun order on the export side?
Hey, we're not giving you any breakup, but you know, overall our defense business for the quarter was about 350 crores.
350 crores, got it. And secondly, you talked about US Class 8 to be strong for CY24 as well. But if I look at the commentary of some of your customers, it is indicating towards 10-15% decline from high base of CY23. So is that indication what you're also getting, or that's something different?
See, what is happening is that because of the 27 emission norms, earlier, as long as the engine was made before 27, you got the emission bypass. Now the vehicle has to be rolled out in 27. So the pre-buy is going to be preponed to more like 24 and 25 rather than 25 and 26. So that is why we expect a little bit of that volume to move back into 25, into 24 and, you know, moderate in 26. So 24, 25 and 26 cumulatively should be somewhere in the region of the 3 years put together should be about 1 million vehicles.
Okay, that's fairly strong number in that case.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And you talked about oil and gas revenues declining. So what is the level now for oil and gas? Because it seems there is a reasonable decline given 9 months. Except oil and gas growth was about 35%.
I can say that it's about down 2/3 over what it was at our peak.
So currently it's down 2/3. Wow, okay.
Down 2/3, yeah.
Right. And lastly, JS Autocast revenue growth still seems to be impacted by the Russian order going away. Is that still correct?
I understand what you are saying. I'm sorry. Can you just, I don't know if you are very close to the speaker or very far. I don't know. Not so clear.
Is it better now?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so the JS Autocast revenue growth still seems to be impacted by the Russian business going away. Is that still impacting our
Russian business? We don't have any Russian business. Oh, Vestas you mean? Sorry, Vestas, okay. Yeah, you know, Vestas was a big customer, so that has reduced. But we are getting a lot of new business. We've already got more than 200 crores of new business across sectors, across customers, and largely exports from our global customers.
Okay.
And you know, after having acquired AS that Indoshell, we will also have a lot of capacity addition for high volume business.
Got it. And there is a good improvement in margins for JS Autocast. So is now we back to what it was earlier. So do you expect this to sustain at current 14% level?
No, we expect these margins to go up.
Okay, that's good to know. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amyn Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to, you know, stay with the oil and gas segment. Is the slowdown because of a general weakness in the category? And, you know, can that change if oil prices go up? Or is there something else which is happening? Are you getting out of some products here?
No, it's a combination of destocking and inventory correction at the customer end, basically.
Okay.
So there was a significant increase in interest costs.
Okay, Understood. Understood. And so would you be able to share if the destocking is largely done and we could see an improvement, or this is a new level where we could be stuck in the oil and gas specifically for now?
I think right now the volumes we are projecting are at this level. But hopefully, in the next two quarters, it should start improving.
Okay. And just on the you mentioned about that India CV 4Q should be a seasonally stronger quarter. But as we are looking into, say, the next financial year, do you think that India CV could show growth, or do you think that the cycle is peaking out? There are some customers who are also talking about 1Q at least being weaker because of elections. So how are you thinking about that?
Yeah. I think 1Q being weaker is not a big thing. I think that is something that one has to get to live with. But I think if you look at if our industry, if the country is going to grow at 7%, 8%, the commercial vehicle market has to grow at one and a half to two times that. So overall, I think we're in a good position.
Okay. Okay. And lastly, you also mentioned that the ATAGS order from the domestic side, you said that it should be coming anytime soon. Was that correct?
Yeah. I mean, the whole bidding process is at its final stages. So we should see something sooner rather than later.
Okay. Okay. Understood. That's good to know. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amthe from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks. Congrats for good set of numbers. Amit, first question is with regard to the.
Pramod, your voice is very muffled.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah. A little better. Can you just, I don't know, if you're too close to the mic or what, I don't know.
Pramod, if you're on a hands-free, request you to use the handset.
No, I'm on the handset itself. Yeah. Let me try the question. So basically, one of your customers has launched the EV truck. Wanted to know how is your content in the EV truck ICV which is launched. And I think the same customer is also trying with the tractor trailer on the EV side. What is the content there versus your ICE truck?
Currently, our content on the domestic EV trucks is largely power electronics, control electronics. But going forward, we will have the entire suite of products, which we are already in, let's say, not in development, but in testing with a couple of customers, which includes the motor, the inverter, converter, and the castings, chassis components, etc. So the content per vehicle is significantly higher than the content per vehicle that we have today.
The current prototypes which are running by the clients, do they have these components, or it will take you 1 to 2 years to reach this?
No, no. Some of them already have the mature components. Some of them have still components at a prototype level.
And also, the government seems to be pushing for, I think, energy policy or even a hydrogen policy. How does the content change there versus your ICE vehicle in trucks?
See, in hydrogen, there are two possibilities. One is the Cummins model where hydrogen is used as a fuel in the combustion engine by injecting hydrogen into the engine. There, an engine is an engine. So you have a crankshaft, you have connecting rods, you have pistons, camshafts, and so on and so forth. Camshaft may be something that goes away if you have electronic timing or electronic valve lift, but the crankshaft, the pistons, a lot of those components still remain. The other source of using hydrogen is through fuel cell, but today the fuel cell does not have the power density that one needs. So I think we're still a little far away from that. But immediately, hydrogen combustion engines are definitely something that will have adequate opportunity for us to supply components into.
Any thoughts on LNG, or it is remain the same?
LNG is the same as CNG or any combustion engine. The only difference is the tank that is used to store it.
And any update on the retrofit kit which you had made for trucks? Any timeline for that to come to commercial?
So we have now completed testing of more than 250,000 kilometers. We have got homologation certificates, and we are now starting to build vehicles for sale to customers. And I expect that in the next quarter, we should be selling vehicles to customers, starting with a small volume of beta testing, but then after that, we will be in series production.
Sure. Thanks, Anandas.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Roy from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My first question regarding your defense business. Sir, recently Indian Army has cleared for Made in India 155M towed gun system. So, sir, where Bharat Forge stand apart from the ATGS?
That is for ATAGS only. That program is for the 307 ATAGS.
Oh, now this is only for towed gun system, sir, apart from ATGS.
Yeah, so we have three other platforms besides ATAG. We have Bharat 52, then we have ultralight gun, okay, both in titanium and in steel, and we have Bharat 45.
Okay, so sir, both the gun has the weight below 50 tons, sir?
Yeah.
Right, sir. Sir, next question regarding to your aerospace business, sir. Just want to hear if you are making, sir, you are seeing the growth from the landing gear, helicopter part, or jet engine. Can you light on this, sir, for landing gear or helicopter part or jet engine?
So, in aerospace also, we are growing at a very high pace. We will continue to grow at a very significant double-digit growth. You know, we are almost, every 2 years, we'll be doubling our business here. So I expect that this business will be growing at a very high pace for at least the next 3 to 4 years.
So, this business will be looking from the domestic market or export market?
This is global, but more than 80% of it is export.
Okay, right, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Kapil from Nomura. Please go ahead. Kapil, you may go ahead with the question.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so just one follow-up. On these new products that we are building for electric vehicles, you know, power electronics, and also inverter, etc. What kind of margin profile will be there for these businesses?
So initially the margin will be, you know, not as high as it potentially can, but I think that overall the margin and, you know, return on investment will be very good.
Understood. And when you look at your... And
that our value per vehicle will be significantly higher than what we have today. So profit per vehicle will be very good.
Sure, sir. And when we look at your current margins, how much is the investment going into some of these new areas of development which potentially may not be generating revenues currently?
Sorry, what are you saying? So, you know, like our US plant is not generating any adequate return right now. Then our aerospace business also is not generating the kind of returns. Our acquisition in the casting space, that is JSA, is not generating, you know, as much as, because it's it has much higher capacity than what we have acquired it, than what we have, what we are generating today. It can easily double its revenue with the capacities that we have.
Actually, sir, my question was more on the standalone margins, because it would be having some investment related costs for these new you know, power electronics and other EV parts, right? So,
yes.
I was trying to get a sense like how much investment is going into the standalone margins right now, which may be affecting your standalone margins.
Yeah, you know, look, to build any business, you have an overhead. So, we have a upfront cost, which is our revenue expenses to take care of the operations of this business, which is negative rather than, it's not generating any revenue. So as that switches, it will go from negative to zero and then zero to positive. But you're right. I mean, any business when you build, in the beginning it has a negative margins because you're only investing. And we don't capitalize any of these. We charge it off P&L.
Yeah, so that's the reason I was asking this question.
Yeah,
anyway, I'll take it off. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Mahesh Vendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, last 12 quarters, we have been growing in double digit, very strong growth for the last 3-4 years. Now, in the press release that we have released, mentioned that the Q4 and FY25 growth is expected to be moderated. So is it meaning that instead of growing 20%, our growth could be moderate, maybe, 10-12% kind of growth next year? Is it a mean, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's not that we're going to become negative growth. Growth will probably reduce for a few quarters from 20%, but again, after a few quarters, we will again accelerate.
Okay. So only growth number will moderate?
Yes, exactly. It's not going to degrow.
Okay, certainly. And sir, the capital expenditure plan for next 2 years?
Next 2 years is cumulatively between India and outside India, all put together, 1,000 crores.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one.
I think, there's no one else, so maybe I'll just give a closing.
Sure, sir. There are no further questions.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our call. I don't want to alarm anyone, but, and I hope that we didn't alarm you with our, guidance, which was softer than what you may have expected, but I think that as a company, we will have robust performance, we'll have strong double-digit we'll have strong growth, stronger than the industry and stronger than market, but there are changes taking place in the underlying market, so I just wanted to highlight that. It's a great opportunity for us because a lot of weak suppliers will fall by the wayside and give us a lot of opportunity to move business to ourselves. So we expect growth to continue. We have plans of how to accelerate our growth going forward as well. And I think that the future looks very bright, driven by our existing businesses, some of our emerging businesses, and some of our new businesses. So that's all I wanted to say, and I'd like to invite you to come and visit us to get a sense of what we're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Bharat Forge, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.